Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to Sherry Cormier. She's the author of Finding Enduring Wholeness After Loss and Grief. Welcome back, Sherry.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you. And I got a little chuckle during the break listening to your weather forecaster when he said it was a high of 4 and a low of 1 up there in British Columbia. And I was walking on my community beach an hour ago at a high of 60.
That's probably a nice way to deal with grief, too.
That is a nice way to deal with grief. I've been shivering ever since I heard that forecast for you.
Yeah. It's Celsius, so it's not as bad as it sounds. So we've gone through willingness, play, inspiration. What's the next tool?
The next tool that I use, I actually call blessings. And, you know, people say, well, why would blessings be a tool for healing from something that I find pretty upsetting and I didn't want to have happen? That's a great question, really. But the fact of the matter is, if we keep dwelling on just the loss and we overlook the fact that there are still things going on in our life, for ourselves and around us that really are still blessings. I mean, you know, it's a blessing for me to be here on December 17th and walking on my beach and having a spring day, even though I don't live in the South in the States. It's a blessing for me to be on this radio show. You know, it's a blessing to me that I have shelter and food and I have family members, even though many of them have died, and friends and things that I... So, you know, focusing on blessings is so important. And another word for this might be gratitude. And I actually say to people, try to notice, even though you're heartbroken, try to notice at least one thing every day, or one person every day, or one situation every day that you feel is a blessing to you, and make a note of that, and do that for maybe a period of a month, and you will find that that has a way of sort of keeping your spirits up in the midst of feeling heartbroken. Because one of the things that we know is heartbreak and hope are not mutually exclusive. Sorrow and joy are not mutually exclusive. Grief and gratitude are not mutually exclusive. Another tool would be education. This is something that I really discovered sort of maybe serendipitously with my own situation. I had lost both my father and my husband very unexpectedly, but both of them died within 3 months of each other in the same year. And I was teaching at a university then, and that was actually a blessing for me, a gift, because I was always having to do class plans or lesson plans or preparation plans. And in doing that, what I discovered was whenever I was learning something or doing that preparation, and I was on Google and I was reading literature and planning my next lecture and things, I really, during that time, I was, you know, sort of educating myself and learning and being curious. I really was not feeling sad. I wasn't noticing that I was sad. So make Google your friend, learn something new. If you have a local library or a senior center or a community center or a university, take a class, go to a lecture, maybe read a book about a topic that you are unfamiliar with. So that would be another tool. And then another tool I've already mentioned, and that is connection, because our brains are really hardwired to have several close companions that we walk through life with that we can tell our deep, dark secrets to. We have to tell our story to people. That's so important. And so making sure you have a tribe around you. And again, if you don't feel like you have trusted people that you can really talk to about your loss, then going to see a counselor or going to your hospice and seeking out a grief support group, those would be very good ways for you to develop social connection. Then another step would be balance. And by balance, really what I mean, a good word for this would just be self-care. You know, things like making sure you get enough sleep. It can be hard to sleep when you're grief-stricken, but sleep is important. Healthy eating is very important. And moving your body, exercise is so important because, you know, when we move our body, whether we're out dancing or doing yoga or tai chi or taking a hike or taking a run, we're moving energy. So we're sort of moving some of that grief around in our body. So that's really important.
So we're creating endorphins.
And we're creating endorphins, which are feel good, and a lot of feel good hormones then get circulated in the body, so we feel better after we do something for 20 or 30 minutes every day. And then the last tool I talk about is transformation. And again, maybe that's strange to think about grief and loss, but the fact of the matter is that loss, what loss really represents, is the end of one period or one chapter. But when you think about a door closing, you also need to think about a door opening. So loss also signals the beginning of another chapter or another period or another transition. And so thinking about what in you is shifting with a loss, and how can you grow, and how can you even thrive from the loss?
Mm-hmm. And when you see people in this crisis time, this grief-stricken time where life is so difficult, how long does a walk usually take back to joy again?
Well, that's a great question, and I don't know if there's a really good empirical answer, but I would say practically, just from people I've worked with, the first year is very hard. You know, the first year is full of firsts. And, you know, there's a lot of triggers. You know, right now we're at the holiday season. And for people who just lost something or someone very precious, they don't feel like celebrating right now. They don't have that joy that a lot of other people have. So, you know, the first year you have to get through holidays, you have to get through birthdays, you have to get through anniversaries of the loss event. So the first year it's pretty hard to find joy. It's not impossible, and certainly there are little pockets of it. And the second year gets a little better, the third year gets quite a bit better, and usually by year four you're going to feel that your periods of joy are now outweighing your sorrow. And actually, if you don't feel that way by year four, if you still feel very stuck in sadness and sorrow and you still feel like it's very difficult to find joy by year four, that would be really an indicator that you're in that 10% that would qualify as what we call prolonged or complicated grief, and you really do need professional treatment services at that point for sure.
Okay. If we have someone in our world that is struggling in this way, how can we reach out to them in a gentle way?
Oh, that's such a great question. That's one of my favorite questions. You know, just first of all, just acknowledge that something hard has happened to them. And if you don't know what to say, which is often very common, you can simply say that, I realize this is a really tough time for you and I'm not sure exactly what to say. And then also ask them about what it's, you know, if they want to talk or if there's some way you can be of help. You know, you might say, if you feel like talking about it, give me a shout. I'm wondering if there are particular ways in which I could be helpful, and what would those be? And I guess I would say really, really be important, really recognize the importance of being available to people in need for the long haul. Because it's not, you know, being with someone who's grief-stricken is not like a hit-and-run accident. It's like a marathon,
right,
where, you know, it's important to keep checking in with people, especially during the first year. How are you doing? What can I do to help? Et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, just sort of keep checking back in.
Sherry, you've been a wealth of information on grief and moving through it. We are running out of time, but I just wanted everybody to know your book is Sweet Sorrow, Finding Enduring Wholeness After Grief and Loss. Is it on Amazon?
It is on Amazon. And in fact, right now, Amazon is offering a special promotional 10% off coupon for the holidays.
Okay, good, good. Okay, we've run out of time, but thanks so much for being on the program. We'd also like to thank our producer, Alan Wishart, and to all the community stations across Canada that carry our program. Have a healthy and happy day.